but along with that, but to trust that the Spirit is working in that work in the same way that, you know, for 2 Peter 1:20-21, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God. So that phrase, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So men spoke, that's the human component. And they are speaking in a specific language, Greek or Hebrew, Hebrew for the Old Testament, Greek for the New. But as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, like, you can't leave either aspect. You got to remember it's men speaking by the Holy Spirit. And so
just in the same way our Bible writers wrote, they didn't form into a trance. They weren't trying to write, in the beginning was the wad, and God, you know, took their hand and said, no, it's word.
Yeah.
There was a human component to it, but there was also this supernatural spirit dwelling that took place. And so just as that was for writing the Bible, reading the Bible then is also that, that communion between God and man. That'd be fair. Well,
right. And it's because God is a good communicator. So he has communicated in a way that we can understand. I think you listened to the sermon, Patrick, where I was talking about how my daughter tries to befriend bugs.
Yeah.
And it goes not particularly well, as such things are wont to do. But I was making that as an analogy for God trying to speak to us, that we'd be every bit as hopeless at being a friend of God as my eldest daughter is at making bug friends. If he hadn't lowered himself to speak our language and to communicate in a way we can understand. And one of those ways is that we, as readers, can see the marks of how someone has crafted and honed their message. Mm-hmm. So it would be weird if the Bible was not carefully crafted and honed in that way, to where we could benefit from understanding, oh, this is why he put this in this order, or this is why he used this turn of phrase, or this is why he made this reference, and then sure enough, the Bible itself tells us that's how it worked. Several of the books of Scripture, they say, oh no, I sat down and worked on this puppy. Some of the ones that have some of the sharpest marks of that having been done are the ones that don't say that.
Do you think the first and the second Corinthians had like 5 rough drafts because Paul was just so ticked off and he was like, listen, really, you guys are doing that? Really? Do I have to come down there? Do I? Oh, no, hold on. Let me be more eloquent. Oh, I love everyone.
The point I'm just making there is that this is actually, that this, it takes work to read the Bible. It took work to write the Bible. It didn't just pop into being. And that's one of the things that actually helps us be able to read it. That's good for us that work went into this. It actually makes it a human document written down in slug speak for us that we can actually read. That's actually to our advantage, not a detriment. It's very helpful to understand that apologetically, of course. But just in the everyday reading of the word, to understand that so that, and the same Holy Spirit that helped these men do the work of writing the Bible will help you do the work of reading it. You have the same Holy Spirit your pastor does, but you do not know the Bible as well as your pastor does, hopefully. Hopefully, unless you are one of the teachers and leaders in the church, and you are also in that sense a pastor. Hopefully your pastor knows more about the Bible than you. And that's a good thing. That's good for you. It's one of the reasons that God put you in a church. It's a blessing to you. And so it's important to understand that, yes, you have the same Holy Spirit, and he works slowly through human means. Yeah. So that ultimately we can say, this is presumably coming out somewhere near Reformation Day. Hopefully we can say that popes and councils do err and have erred. And if I can really rock some people's boats, that pipers and conferences have erred and do err.
Stop recording.
Cut the stream.
So that we can say that, but he says, so unless I am convinced by scripture and by sound reason, which is the product of work and of striving and of laboring under the text, and isn't just an overnight thing. If Martin Luther had gotten saved and then immediately said, "All of you are wrong. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me." And then I think rightfully people would have gone, "Well, if God really wanted you to do this, then maybe he would have helped you understand the Bible better, because here you made all these basic errors." Like that's how that
or lose done. His first debate against a Roman Catholic.
Yeah, well, which arguably he still even did, but depending on how you score that one, on the text he was fine. On the church history he got surprised. I just wanted to lay that all out there, that we certainly understand that it is the same Holy Spirit who led along these men of God, the same Holy Spirit who breathed out the Word of God is the same Holy Spirit who leads us now in reading the Word of God, but he didn't promise that it was going to happen instantly.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. And it doesn't just happen with the autographs either. When I learned from Kostenberger, who's been on the show, friend of the show. And,
I would have listed him among the names, but I was like, how do you say that again? So I just didn't even try.
Yeah, he's from Austria. So, where Austrian economics comes from, and he studied Austrian economics. So I just, ooh, put the feather in my cap for that one.
I learned that from your show.
There you go. but it's in the transmission of the gospels and the letters too. It's not, again, God, an evil scribe is out there going, "I'm going to change John 1:1. And I just can't do it. I'm being held back by the invisible hand of God. The same one that moves markets and Adam Smith." That's the principal point of Bart Ehrman trying to say God would preserve it without error and everything like that. But you have a system of Greek speaking at the time. You have the Roman roads being built to go to all the corners of the world at the time. And you have so many lines of transmission. And I would also say within the confines of the first at least 300 years, you have periods of rest of the church and also arrest of the church, which makes things sporadic. And you find, this one has an errant reading. How do we know that they're errant? Is because we can do the hard work of looking at it and going, there are three that speak in heaven, the Father, the blood and the Spirit. how do we know that shouldn't really be there? Although, you know, some guy on horseback put a number next to it. So we're not dropping anything. We're saying, let's be clear on what the Bible is and how we know things. And we're not rewriting the Bible. We're letting God, who once he speaks, creates the canon. And we are now doing better at recognizing the canon. We're not removing anything. We're saying, oh, here we're coming up with more evidence and we have people within the church that are doing that hard work, even still to this day. And I think the beauty of, you know, Jesus being executed by the Roman ruler of the world enabled the gospel to permeate the world in such manner. It's the devil has killed Jesus. 3 days later, he's risen from the dead. Oh no. And the rock has rolled away. But how is that done? And, you know, we've talked to J. Warner Wallace, who, you know, we put the question to him, if you came upon a murder scene and there's no way, you know, human intervention can come about, would you, with your worldview, accept a paranormal event happening? He said, once all natural knowledge is gone away, then I'm forced to, because I recognize that there's another level to this. And I think watching Roman Catholics and Protestants debate on transubstantiation, when Roman Catholics say here is church fathers say the real presence of Christ is here, that means transubstantiation. It's like, no, real presence. They believe that the spirit world existed. And so he's present in the scripture. And so when we no longer double check our presuppositions that could be right, but once we hold them in higher esteem than logic or the word, I think that's when we can become just as well a Roman Catholic apologist for the same thing, because we're looking at it through, you know, why didn't Paul list these five other things that weren't the case? Because when I write a story, I make clear that I'm only talking about this one city, not these five other ones. Well, because you're writing in a context of 21st century Western version that is writing for this type, and you're applying that standard back onto it, which is anachronistic, which, you know, it's Paul's flying car. If there's a flying car within scripture, we might be a little hesitant on, even today, you know, we just have self-driving ones from time to time.
Yeah.